The triumph of the culture of honor helps to explain why the pattern of criminality in the American South has always been so distinctive. Murder rates are higher there than the rest of the country, but crimes of property and stranger crimes, like muggings, are lower. As the sociologist John Shelton Reed has written, the homicides in which the South seems to specialize are those in which someone is being killed by someone he or often she knows, for reasons both the killer and victim understand. Reed adds, the statistics show that the Southerner who can avoid arguments and adultery is as safe as any other American, and probably safer. In the backcountry, violence wasn't for economic gain. It was personal. You fought over your honor. Many years ago, the Southern newspaperman Hodding Carter told the story of how, as a young man, he had served on a jury. As Reed describes it, the case before the jury involved an irascible gentleman who lived next door to a filling station. For several months, he had been the butt of various jokes played by the attendants and the miscellaneous loafers who hung around the station despite his warnings and his notorious short temper. One morning, he emptied both barrels of his shotgun at his tormentors, killing one, maiming another permanently, and wounding a third. When the jury was polled by the incredulous judge, Carter was the only juror who recorded his vote as guilty. As one of the others put it, he wouldn't have been much of a man if he hadn't shot them fellows. Only in a culture of honor would it have occurred to the irascible gentleman that shooting someone was an appropriate response to a personal insult. And only in a culture of honor would it have occurred to a jury that murder, under those circumstances, was not a crime. I realize that we are often wary of making these kinds of broad generalizations about different cultural groups, and with good reason. This is the form that racial and ethnic stereotypes take. We want to believe that we are not prisoners of our ethnic histories. But the simple truth is that if you want to understand what happened in those small towns in Kentucky in the 19th century, you have to go back into the past, and not just one or two generations. You have to go back 200 or 300 or 400 years to a country on the other side of the ocean and look closely at what exactly the people in a very specific geographic area of that country did for a living. The culture of honor hypothesis says that it matters where you're from, not just in terms of where you grew up or where your parents grew up, but in terms of where your great-grandparents and great-great-grandparents grew up, and even your great-great-great-grandparents grew up. That is a strange and powerful fact. It's just the beginning, though, because upon closer examination, cultural legacies turn out to be even stranger and more powerful than that. In the early 1990s, two psychologists at the University of Michigan, Dov Cohen and Richard Nisbet, decided to conduct an experiment on the culture of honor. They knew that what happened in places like Harlan in the 19th century was, in all likelihood, a product of patterns laid down in the English borderlands centuries before. But their interest was in the present day. Was it possible to find remnants of the culture of honor in the modern era? So they decided to gather together a group of young men and insult them.